Back here on Sports Talk on the Big 870, Mike Dettelia along with Charlie Long. And on our Oakland Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line, man, he's done it for a long time. One of the best in the business from betonline.ag, Dick Girardi. Dick, thanks so much for joining us this afternoon.
Absolutely, guys. What's happening down there?
Yeah, and summer's kicked in, Dick. It ain't cool no more. Every once in a while, you get a cool breeze, but that's about the only thing that's cool about things. Dick, the last time we talked about, you know, with the Kentucky Derby, this looked to be a two-horse race with journalism and Sovereignty, and it turned out to be that way. And, boy, I give Sovereignty a lot of credit, and the way he was rode down the stretch to win that race, deciding not to run now for the Preakness and kind of save himself for the Belmont. You know, we've seen that in the past already, but just kind of an overview of how that race was run on a sloppy track. And, man, Sovereignty was able to pull out the W.
Yeah, Sovereignty was terrific. He was just prepared perfectly by a maestro, Belmont. He's as good as anybody in the history of the game at getting a horse ready for one big race. And he certainly had Sovereignty ready to run the race of his life. And it was interesting. As it turned out, where Sovereignty was, and he was near the back for the first half of the race, almost the first half of the race, that actually turned out to be the right place to be because the pace of the race was so fast. And he kind of, Junior Alvarado kind of got him in a spot where he wasn't around other horses, so he's kind of comfortable. He wasn't taking a lot of that kickback. Journalism, by contrast, remember Citizen Bull, the one horse, kind of took a right turn out of the gate. And that messed up a number of horses just to his right, including Journalism. They had hoped, coming out of the first turn, I think we talked about this 2 weeks ago, to be like maybe fifth or sixth. Mm-hmm. Maybe 5-6 lengths off the lead. Instead, they were 10th, like 10 lengths off the lead. So he's kind of out of his comfort zone. And the jockey had to use him a little bit just to even hold that position. So, you know, when you get out of position in a horse race, you got to use energy that you really didn't want to use. So he didn't have enough to hold off Sovereignty. And maybe he wouldn't anyway. You know, we'll never know if he'd gotten the trip I expected him to get. But look, you're right. It was a two-horse race. Both those two horses ran terrific. I expect to see them win a lot of races. I really wish Sovereignty was here. But as you said, the decision was made to wait for the Belmont. But the good news is Journalism is here. I thought he was the best three-year-old prior to the Derby. I'm not going to get off him yet, but I'd like to see him win big on Saturday to confirm my opinion.
Yeah, I got a couple pals of mine that they love Sovereignty, and they won a few nickels out of that. But they admitted, man, Journalism is really good, and this may be the race for him to kind of take over. One horse that is getting some love from the gamblers and some long look-see, and he finished seventh in the Kentucky Derby, and that's Sandman. So I'll get your comments on Sandman, who he kind of got caught up too at the Kentucky Derby. But if I think from a betting standpoint, if anybody could give Journalism a run for it, some people think maybe it's Sandman.
So I'd say this. I thought Sandman looked uncomfortable
in
the Derby on that sloppy track, right? He just never really got into the race. He was just so far back. I mean, he was 18th. Then he passed like more than half the field, ended up finishing second, beating 12 lengths. So the question you have to ask yourself, was it the sloppy track or maybe he's just not quite up to the very top? I think it's somewhere in between. If you look back to last fall, 27th of October, he ran a pretty good third in the street sense, beating 5 lengths by Sovereignty. I think that's kind of where he is. Maybe he's 3 to 4 lengths off a horse like Sovereignty or Journalism. But, yeah, he's definitely better than he ran in the Kentucky Derby. I don't think there's any argument about that. The good news is he'll probably be last early, but instead of being 18th this time, he'll be 9th. All right, so you won't have to pass as many horses.
I was going to talk to you about the short field and who that sort of favors in this race, because when you got that many horses, there's some maneuvering that happens here. Now with a shorter field, does that play more into why I think Journalism's got, you know, more than a fair share to win this race? And I think he's the best horse in the race. Now, does he win it is another question mark there, but the shorter field.
No question. I mean, think about, again, down the backstretch, he's 10th in the Derby, so he's got to pass 9 horses. Well, there's only 9 horses in this race. right? And he's going to be in front of a few of them coming out of the first turn. I expect him. I think goal-oriented, the one will show speed, the three American Promise, the eight Clever again for sure, and maybe the six River Thames. I think Journalism is probably 3 to 4 lengths behind whichever that group is leading, which is a whole different circumstance than what he was at Kentucky. So, yeah, that fact, he probably isn't going to be as fast a pace. And he's proven that he can win any kind of way, right? He can stay close to the pace and win. He made that big move in the Derby. So, yeah, the shorter field, you always want a shorter field when you think you have the best horse. And on paper, certainly everything he's done, he's the best horse so far off of what he's done.
Dick, something that I noticed that maybe it was there for the Kentucky Derby, but I just didn't see it. But there's also props via betonline.ag, the horse to finish last, which I thought was kind of fun. Obviously, Journalism is 33-1 in that category because, as you mentioned, he's likely going to win the Preakness. But what are your thoughts on, you know, who you can potentially expect to finish last in this race?
Hey, Dick, you didn't think you'd get that question.
Yeah, I'm throwing out a little bit of a curveball for you here, Dick.
I love it. No, that's awesome. No, I love races, prop bets like that at BetOnline. So, one of the things to look for typically with the last place is you want to find a horse that has early speed that may get caught up in something and potentially could just really collapse at the end. American Promise probably fits that bill. That's exactly what happened to him in the Derby, finished 16th. He's 5-1 to finish last. Pay Billy is the favorite to finish last. He's a local horse from Maryland. I don't think that's going to happen because he's shown the ability to pass a couple of horses. So I would think he would do that. But I think the Bet Online has it right. I think they have the right horses in the right position for last. But I cashed one a couple of years ago at the Derby, like a 5-1 shot. And I chatted a lot of people on them. But, yeah, you don't get them where you're that confident that often. But typically you want a horse that's going to show early speed and tire. You don't want a horse, say, like Sandman, that's going to be coming from the back and is certainly going to pass a couple of horses. Very unlikely to finish last.
Dicko, you know, we talk so much about the pomp and circumstance of the Kentucky Derby and how it's sort of laid out with all the races and two races after the Kentucky Derby. For people who haven't been there for the Preakness, sort of break that particular deal down too, because, man, you know, Baltimore, man, they've done a great job with the Preakness and the sort of setup, and it doesn't get as much, say, light thrown on it as the Derby just because of the prestige of it. But, man, the Preakness is also they got a lot of folks that go to that. And it is more of a fashion show and everything else today, similar to what we saw at the Kentucky Derby.
Yeah, the biggest difference is, look, the infield at the Derby is obviously a big deal, right? But they have this gigantic grandstand that they keep adding on to, and, I mean, they just can't sell enough tickets to it. Pimlico is much smaller. In fact, guys, after this race, they're going to knock down this version of Pimlico, which has been around since the 50s, and rebuild it. They're going to run the Preakness next year at Laurel Park, which is about a half an hour from Baltimore. And then the Preakness will move back to the new Pimlico in 2027. The old track is, I mean, it's literally just the old building is kind of just falling down. So what they want to do is retrofit this new building, make it more comfortable for people. They want to attract some big price people that'll pay a big number to get in. But in addition to that, what made the Preakness in 1973, they opened up the infield. That was Secretariat's year. And it became this gigantic party over time where almost so many colleges on the East Coast, and they're letting out right in mid-May, it was a huge thing for college kids to come down. It was like the end of the school year. So that's really what's kind of brought the Preakness into the modern era. We'll see if they can recapture that when the new Pimlico goes up over the next 2 years.
Dick, I never thought it'd be spring break at the Preakness, but that's what you got. That's almost exactly kind of how it breaks down.
That's right. That's what it is. Graduation parties.
That's it. Dick, thanks so much for joining us. And I think you feel like me. This is a race here for Journalism to win it.
Right.
There's no question. I like a 2-8 exacta with Clever again, maybe getting loose in the lead and Journalism coming, running them down in the stretch.
Dick, thanks so much for joining us. Always appreciate your time and insights, my man. Thank you.
You got it. Thanks, guys.
All righty. Dick Girardi does a great job. Long time horse racing analyst, over 40 years for betonline.ag.